בוקר טוב, יום רביעי בשבת קודש, ט' בתמוז, today is the yahrzeit of the Heilige Divrei Yetziv, the Klausenberg Rebbe, עליו השלום. Divrei Yetziv. He was a Holocaust survivor, was tremendous gaon, a gaon of Yechusil, Yehuda Halberstam, Zichr Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, the founder of the modern-day Hasidut Tzanz, in Netanya and in Union City. So that was him. He's actually a very, very good friend of Maran Zichron Levracha. So, תהי נשמתו צורת צור החיים, הוא עושה את דברי תורה ועם נשמתו. טוב, בקיצור, today I just want to finish off, we were in שולחן ערוך סעיף א' yesterday, so I just want to finish off the שולחן ערוך with a סוגיה that we would be remiss in not speaking about it, because it's something that comes up, and it's a very important שאלה. I'm sure everybody saw the פתחי תשובה, I don't know if you, unfortunately, my device is, I wasn't yet זוכה to a הוצאה לחוכמה. So I have to use the Bar Ilan and Hebrew books and stuff like that, but they don't have a Kaf HaChaim. So there are certain things that I can't pull up, so you'll excuse me for that, but then we'll try to at least speak it out, or you can see on you know, my Sfar and whatever. So, with regards to yesterday, we spoke about the Ta'amim of Ne'echad Kamot Shulchai, right? Eaten raw, Olei Shulcha Melachim, all those criteria. The Pitchei Tshuva brings down as follows. Pitchei Tshuva is one of the foremost commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. It's written by a Gaon, Rabbi Avraham Tzvi Eisenstadter. So he says that what he does is he brings down a lot of tshuvot, a lot of achronim that have tshuvot on the subject matter, and on Seif Alif in the Shulchan Aruch, which we saw yesterday, he says as follows. He says the Pitchei Tshuva. Shulchai, Ayin Bayretiv Shel Ma'aritza, Shekatav De'ikar HaGzera Ita Meshulchatnut V'chunet, which means that the Ikar HaGzera, by the way, the Taz says the same thing as the Maharit, that the Ikar HaGzera is really Chatnut.
Is that the Beretiv? Sorry, that's no Beretiv.
No, that's a different Beretiv. Oh. There are two Beretivs, that's why it says Beretiv Shel Maharit. Rabbi Yosef Tran, yeah? So, here's the clincher of your Vayim, Yosef Tiferet LeMoshe, Shekatav Delfi Ta'am Zeh Shara Bishul Shel Mumar. Now in general, whenever we speak about Mumar, Mumar is a reference to a Jew that converted to Christianity. Mumar is like Meshumad, person who converts out. So if a Jew converts out and he cooks something for you, if Ikar HaGzera is because of Chatnut, then there's no issue. Why is there no issue? Because his daughter is Muteret. So now, that's that. Ela, Shaya, O Ta'am Mevar Bebet Yosef, and really that second Ta'am of Bet Yosef, the Shemi Yachilin on Devarim Asurim is really, where does that originate? From Rashi in Daf Lamed Chet. ולפי זה, גם בשוק של מומר אסור, דאבה ככופה לכל התורה כולה, ושם יאכילנו דברים האסורים עין שם. Which means that according to the opinion, and we said it's not only Rashi, but it's a few, you know, the Agot Asheri and the Rashbam, they hold that the Ikar HaTam is because of שם יאכילנו דבר תמה. And if that's the case, a person who's מומר, a person who converts out, what's his status ne'emanut-wise with regards to Isur Veter? Nishchubi, Nakum. So, he says, therefore what? Over there would still be a problem by this Mumar guy of Bishul Akum. But he says, Ulfi Zeh, and here is a real big one. Ulfi Zeh, Hu Adin Mumar Lechalel Shabbat Bepharesia, O Lechol HaTorah Kula, Chutz Mishtayim Elu. We know, the Chachamim tell us, and the Rambam brings it down, at the end, tail end, the last halacha in Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Lamed, of Hilchot Shabbat, the Rambam says, that the Chachamim always put two things together, Avodah Zarah and Chilul Shabbat, they go together. So now, if a person is Mumar Lechalel Shabbat, he didn't convert out Chas V'Shalom, but he is still somebody who is constantly being Mechalel Shabbat B'Farhesia, his status is like that of a Goy, or a person who keeps Shabbat and doesn't do Avodah Zarah, but he does every other Avirah in the book, literally. Therefore, what does his status become? The dino ke oved kochavim, like we say, right? Din ayin siman bet, udil kaman siman kofyutet, gamken bishul asur, says Tiferet LeMoshe, according to this reasoning, what would his status be with regards to bishul akum, this mechalel shabbat guy who cooks something for you? It would be asur, which means the Tiferet LeMoshe kind of leaves it open-ended, whether or not, you know, let's talk about both mumar for avodah zarah and mumar for chilul shabbat. What would his status be with regards to Bishul Akum? It really depends which reason is Eikar. If it's Chatnut, Bito Muteret. If the idea is because of Shemei Achilin, you have a problem. Now, there is a very interesting, this thing happens to be a very big Machloket Achronim. I'm not going to tell you otherwise, but I found an indication from a Rivash, דריבה של רבנו יצחק בר ששת, one of the גדולי פוסקי הראשונים, הוא תלמיד מובהק of the Ran. So you're familiar. From where?
Spain.
Yeah. So he says, it's funny, you know how you say Spain in Spanish? España. It's like, not Spain, Espen. It's very funny. Anyway, Bekitzur. But, and also, it's very, I found this interesting once, that people who speak Spanish, like Mexicans and stuff, they sometimes do that too. Whenever there's a word that starts with S, they'll put an E before it also. It's, I found that pretty interesting. Anyway, Esta. Anyway, Bekitzur, so he says like this. There's an indication from this, I don't know if you all got to see the Rivash, but if you see it, there's an indication one way or another in this Tiferet Moshe, which is the Ikar HaGzera. How so? Let's see what he says. Umumah la'avodat elilim da'aveh mumah lechol ha'Torah kula, stam yino asu. Now over here he's talking about a different Gzera of stam yino, which means that if a Jew who is mumah la'avodat zara, or conversely, with regard, what do the Chachamim equate to mumah la'avodat zara? Chilul Shabbat. He pours wine, it's asur, right? That's called stam yinam. Why is that? Okay? Now, which means it doesn't only apply to goyim, it applies to Jews who are mechalele, who are of the avodah zarah and mechalele shavatot, kedamrim perikam lechulin gabe hachiyah shashtiyah, stam yinam, hu ba'adah no ne'esah, liyan shel avodah kohavim, mashma, says the Rivash based on this gemara, she'achal she'ne'esah liyan shel avodah kohavim, yayin mumar la'avodah zarah asur, af al pi she'en bo mishum benotehim. Which means that even though, is there any issue of binotehim, stam yinam, why did the Chachamim impose the isur of stam yinam on goyim? Because of gzera mishum bito, right? Chatnut. They imposed the same gzera on the mumah, la'avodah zara, the Jew. Even though, says the Rivash beferush, is there any problem with bito? There's nothing wrong with his daughter, as long as he's married to a Jew. Right, if he's married to a goya, okay, fine, she's a goya. That's a different story. We're talking about if he's married, let's say, you know, he's married with kids, whatever, and then he goes off and he does avodah zarah. Does that do anything to his kids? Mapitom. And yet the Chachamim included him in the gzerah. Why? Vekidushav gam kim kiddushin the Israel wa afal pishchata. If this mumah la'avodah zarah goes and does kiddushin to a Jewish woman, is the kiddushin valid, or at least safek valid? Bevadai, bevadai. Why is afal pishchata? So now the Rivash is saying, but one second. So if there's no bito, if there's no gzera mishum bito, why did the Chachamim include this guy in the gzera? So he says, "V'ta'amad milta dekevan shekzat yeno asur zehu shenitnasech v'day la'avod azara gam stam yeno asur kevan shu kemumah lechol ha'Torah kula v'yishvu bo chachamim midotehem." You know why? Is there an application where this mumar's wine would be asur midoraita? You better believe it. How so? Since he's mumar la'avodah zarah, what else could he technically do? Take the wine, and not only pour it, but pour it for avodah zarah. If he actually poured it for avodah zarah, what's the status of this wine? Bevadai, sur deoraita. So since it's shayach, that this mumah will come to a situation of yayin nesach midoraita, and anybody, in general, who are the chachamim afraid that they would make yayin nesach midoraita? Goyim. And they made a gzirav stam yinamam goyim. You know who else they threw into the same gzirah? Mumar as well. One sec. Rabotai, what is resounding from this Rivash? What is resounding from this Rivash? Big stuff. The Rivash is saying the only time, the only gzira that we ever made on a mumar, la'avodah zarah, and also mechalel Shabbat, is only where there's a gzira mishum stam yinam, because you can make a deoraita. Because he says technically there's no problem of binotehim. What does the Rivash seem to be saying about Bishul akum by mumar la'avodah zarah? It's fine because there's no problem with binotehim. There's never any gzira further than binotehim by bishul akum, and therefore mumar la'avodah zarah, and also by default mumar la'avodah zarah, and also mumar nechalel shabbatot according to the Rivash would seem to be going with which ta'am more? The ta'am of chatnut, which would mean he would be going like the more often haheter. You have Rishonim Meforashim on that Tzad HaEter. The Rivash, and not only him. The Ran seems to say like that also. The Rivash probably got it from the Ran, v'chul. Now, therefore...
Which Ran?
Huh?
Which Ran?
By us. I didn't bring it, but the Rivash kind of got this from his Rebbe, the Ran. Now, listen to this. Although the Pitche Tshuva, B'Shem, the Tiferet Moshe, leaves it open-ended, but the Kaf Chaim and Maran Zichrono Berakha do give a maskana on the matter. I'm sure, I don't know if you saw the Kaf Chaim or not, but you know the Kaf Chaim gives a whole rundown. He quotes the Tiferet Moshe, he quotes... Now the Kaf Chaim starts off the statement, the very first Seif Katan, in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, the Kaf Chaim says, It says like this. There we go. והתן דעיקר הגזירה משום חתנות. בדבר שאינו חשוב כל כך, אין אדם מזמין חבריו עליו. תז, he brings all the poskim and say, hands down, עיקר הטעם here is because of what? עיקר הטעם is because of חתנות. And based on that, he brings the Tiferet Lemoshe and the Petra Tshuva. And after he brings that whole discussion, he ends off and he says, נמצא, דדבר זהו בפלוקתא לפי הטעמים, ואם כן, כיוון דמיד דרבנן הוא, נראה דבדיעבד אין לאסור. The Kaf HaChaim brings down the halacha, that since this is only a rabbinic matter anyway, at the end of the day, Bishul Akum is something that is not, it's a gzirat chazal that doesn't have any ikar b'Torah. It's not something that's rooted in the Torah. It's purely a gzirat chazal. Therefore, he says, there is room to be mekel b'di'avad. Maran zechon b'rachayin yabia omer chilek he. Yored de'a siman yod. Right? He. He yod. Remember. So he says, there was a question about 50 years ago. Most of the tuna production in Israel was made in kibbutzim. And in kibbutzim, by and large, most kibbutzim in Israel, at least at the time, were run and populated by Jews who were not Shomer Torah Mitzvot, to say the least. Yeah, they were not Shomer Shabbat, and they were making all this tuna production for Israel. So the question came before Maran Zichrono Livracha, what is the status of these tuna cans? And he has a whole tremendous tshuva focused on the Tiferet Moshe, and he comes out, he brings the Rivash, he brings the other Rishonim, he says there is Machloket, but he comes out at the end of the Teshuvah, like the Kaf HaChaim, that Bedi'avad, it is permissible, because Ikar HaGzirah is Mishum Benotehim, and since it is Mutar to marry their daughters, therefore, Meikar HaDin, you're allowed to do it, but he says, Yavi Omer Chelek He, Yored De'as Iman Yud. So he comes out, says Meikar HaDin, it's okay, but preferably, since there are several Acharonim, the Yehuda Ya'ale, Rabbeinu Yehuda Asad, as well as many others who are machmir badavar, he says it's better, no matter what, for a mashgiach to turn on the mashgiach, meaning a kosher Jew, a Jew who's shomer Torah mitzvot, to turn on the fire, and then everything becomes much, much better. Anyway, but even if he did not, according to the letter of the law, and I know a lot of people get into these situations, everybody has family members or acquaintances that are not shomer Torah mitzvot. So you get into situations sometimes where, let's say you're in a situation, you know for sure the food is fine, the ingredients kashrut-wise are fine, but what about the cooking? Meikar HaDin, according to the letter of the law, the cooking of the non-religious individual does not forbid the food for consumption, according to the Kaf HaChaim, Lemaskana, and according to Maran Zichrono Livracha. It would be lechatchila if a kosher Jew turns on the fire, and more of a b'di'avad if it didn't, but at the end of the day, you don't have to make a rash gadol. Yeah, one by one. What are you saying, Yosef?
My next question is, like, why does it really matter if it's religious or not religious, right? Like, and also, like, what's considered?
Well, not religious, I mean, over here, well, usually when we call not religious, how do we usually consider that? Mechalel Shabbat beferhesia. Public Shabbat desecrators.
Like, public Shabbat?
It would not, no, private, being mechalim Shabbat even in private is bad. But at the end of the day, in order to get the denomination, in order for the Chazal to call the guy like a goy, it's got to be public Shabbat desecration.
Okay, and another question.
Yeah.
What's the exact reason why exactly that? So, for example, if I went to a restaurant and the person making my food wasn't as religious, right?
Yeah.
And they turn on the fire. So we say that in that case, is it only with the evidence? So that couldn't be got kosher in that case?
Well, glatt kosher is a totally different. Glatt kosher has to do with meat. I've seen like bakeries where they're like glatt kosher on it too, which is kind of like a misnomer. It's a little weird, but barbershops need to be shomer Shabbat. I mean, ta'aseli tova. Anyway, but at the end of the day, we'll get to restaurants and all sorts of situations like that when we get Be'ezat Hashem to Saif Zan. We're up to only Seif Aleph now. We just started. Be'ezat Hashem, as we progress with the Seifim of the Halachot in Kufyud Gimal, we'll get to there and what to do in restaurants and stuff like that. Restaurants are a big deal, right? As Ryan will tell you, restaurants is a lo pashut, right? So you have to, you know, Ryan has the whole ins and outs. Because it's hard, you know. A lot of our culture is based on dining out, by and large, except for these few months now. But I'm saying, in general, people like to eat out. It's like a social thing. We'll get there. Be'ezat Hashem, we'll talk about safely eating in. Yeah? Matam Yonatan. Da'at Yonatan.
According to the Tosafot, it says that the dress is salted fish. Do you have to turn on fire in that case with a non-Jew cook?
Okay. We're getting there. Safe Zayin. Same thing. Okay. Yeah.
All right. No, well, when you're buying wine, usually the wine has a double seal on it. It's corked and capped. So over there, once it's a double seal, you can even buy from goyim. That's perfectly fine.
Even though you're a restaurant in Eretz
Yisrael. Well, if you're in a restaurant in Eretz Yisrael, they'll make sure, usually, if it has a normal kashrut, they'll make sure that the wine that they have is mevushan to avoid these problems. Okay? Vaita. Yeah.
If we're saying it's the problem with the restaurant, that's a yom, and that's the main issue, would there be a problem if you have the Jewish cousins, let's say, or like, Mamash family members?
Oh, like Arayot?
Yeah.
No, the Chachamim didn't go there for. Chatnut means in general. Besides for the Arayot, would you be allowed to marry this guy's daughter? That's the idea. Not the Arayot Shabu, which means what happens if it's a brother? Well, if it's a brother, you can marry your niece. But let's say it's a, I don't know. Well, it's a sister. No, if it's a sister, you can marry your sister's kid.
It's an aunt. No.
You can marry your aunt's kid. You can marry your uncle's kid. Anyway. Huh?
What's one of these
creatures?
Like the mix?
Oh, Rashi'ah, but Rashi'ah. Makod Daf? Rashi'ah,
but Rashi'ah. She's your sister and your granddaughter.
It is him. Yeah, very good. Now, anyway, the Kitzur. Yeah, we find all that, by the way, in Parashat Vayishlach by the children of Esav. Esav did it, his kids did it, it was home. Rashi over there says at the end of all the Ela Aluf Ze, Aluf Ze, Aluf Ze, Rashi says, Min Lamed She Kulam Mamzerim He, Ze Baal Ze, Ze Baal Ze, Kulam Mamzerim. So, Vaita. Says the. So that was to wrap up Saif on it. Now, in order to begin Saif Bet and Gimel, obviously you saw that we didn't get to Maran yet in Saif and Bet and Gimel, which are interrelated. At the end of the packet today, you saw the Torah and stuff, but in order to do that, we have to see the Sugiyah Vaiter. We'll see the Sugiyah, Taisvis. I hope we'll have time to get through these things today. And then Bezat Hashem, we'll nail down the halachot tomorrow. Says the Gemara as follows. Yeah, says the Gemara, Tapat Lametchet Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Ase, Amar Rav. Dagim ketanim menuchim, en bayim mishum bishul ha'od dekochavim. Small salted fish are not a problem of bishul akum, which means what's the case? Even if, which means they're already pre-salted, let's say the Jew salted it, and then the non-Jew cooked it or roasted it. What's the halacha with the fish? Mutar. Why? Because it was edible before the goy came around, since it was already edible as a result of its salting, which happened by a Jew. Therefore, bishul akum doesn't apply to it. Amar Rav Yosef, in tzinayin oved kochavim somech Yisrael alehem mishum eruvet avshinin. Now, there are different girsaot, as I'm sure you saw in Tosfot. Tosfot takes out the words in tzinayin oved kochavim. But according to the girsa that we have, even if a goy later after the salting roasted it, the halacha is, even though it was edible before the goy grilled it, what's the halacha? It's still usable for Eruv Tavshilin. We know that for Eruv Tavshilin, what has to be the case? It's got to be cooked. Can't be raw. Okay? Huh? You don't have to. It's preferable to eat it, but if you don't eat it, you're still yotze. Yeah, just like any other Shabbat food, you have to. The Eruv Tavshini is considered Shabbat food. Do you finish every last morsel of Chorosh? No, there's stuff left over. Yeah, I'm saying, are you a Chorosh guy? Yeah, you do the Chorosh. All right, okay. So the Kitzur, you can have mine. Anyway, so he says like this. Yeah. I do challenge. Anyway, the Kitzur. So anyway, I also don't do. I know it's very sacrilegious, and they know this about me. I say this, every time I say this here, I get in trouble, but I don't do the burnt rice either.
Yeah, yeah. Tell them what to say.
Huh? It's, yeah. No, over here, we don't go there. You don't do the what's his name?
Tadi.
Yeah. You know Ariel, our friend Ariel? Ariel. Anyway, but, anyway, so, no, it's like saying if you don't like the burnt rice, you're not Jewish. It's like, it's basically but let's see what he says about there. Yes, he says, now another case. Leaving Eruv Tavshilin, coming back to Bishul Akum, if a goy made the fish into Kasad Arsena, which is, it's a food that's made out of frying fish brine and flour together. Let's say he did that. Asur. It's asur because of bishul akum. Says Rav Pshita, of course it's asur.
Maudete mal senaikar, kamash manakimcha ikar. I would have thought that the little fish, those are the ikar, and the fish, what did we just say before about the fish, that they're already edible? Kamash malan, no. What's the main component of this food is the flour. And flour is something that cannot be eaten edible. Yeah? People don't eat flour edible. Don't eat flour raw. Now, this is going to be a big deal. We stop right here. We're going to see Rashi, Tosfos, and then we'll go to see some other Rishonim. Bezat Hashem, I brought some Rishonim and Acharonim that hopefully are going to rock your world. So says Rashi like this, yeah? Says Rashi, Menuchin echalim kmot she'en mechamat minchan. They're eaten as a result of their salt. Kasad arsena, tigen bemuryas shuman dagim em kemach. You fried in fish brine, fish fat with flour. Harsena ikar, I would have thought, v'otu murias ne'echat kmot she'u chai. That brine is edible as is, v'share, kamash malam kimcha ikar. That's why the chidush of Rav Yosef is that the flour is ikar, v'yesh bo mishum bishulei avde kochavim, she'akemach eno ne'echal chai. Now, we're going to see soon, does this apply only to cooked items? What about the dessert items? I'm sure you saw the Bet Yosef with the tashbits. Saw the Bet Yosef? Bet Yosef brings down a very important tashbits. Yeah, what are you saying?
Is salt generally known as a way of cooking? Like if I'm salting something?
So, the Rabbanan, yeah, but not by Bishul Akum. Okay. We're going to see that it's a machloket later. We hold la halacha that salting something does not make it Bishul Akum. Okay?
Does it make it kashim?
Huh? It makes it kashim, but it doesn't make it asum shum shum akum.
Isn't there a sort of their
things that they usually put stuff in. Things that they usually put yain in. If you know they put yain.
Yeah.
Which means, goyish herring. Can you eat goyish
herring?
Yeah.
You'll get superior, I don't know.
Oh, you mean like at the Hamish company?
Yeah.
I hear. The Rebbe. Yes, he says like this.
Why can't we even die from Rashi over here that just says, that came up in one of the outside, only brings the reason of the flower not being raw, and that's why it's asur.
אבל יש לנו תוספות בעולם, מה נעשה? כתוב בתוספות, let's see תוספות. What does Tosfos say? Tosfos takes it as a matter of, you know, it's a given that it's got to be talking about that they're ole. And in order for it to be ole, you know, let's see the second Tosfot first. Or, you know, let's see the first Tosfot first because it's at the end of this one. Let's see Tosfot. דגים קטנים מלוכים. Yeah, Brian, you read it. קריינה די גרתה.
Yeah.
So Tosfot is now explaining the Gemara the way we spoke it outside. Yeah, go ahead.
They were eaten with salt on it beforehand.
Therefore, it's considered chai. Yeah. Rabbeinu Hananel took out the words Oved Kochavim by the Eruv Tavshinin, so let's leave that alone, which means even if it was, let's say even a Jew did it, but let's put Eruv Tavshinin on the side right now because that's not our sugya. Let's focus on the Bishul Akum part.
V'hashtanicha
Okay, so we're going to see a stira later. Some say that melicha is a problem. This is what this is what you just asked before. Aval mikol makom, we're going to see that right now we're talking about that the Jew salted it, so we're not even getting to that problem. But here's the, you know, here's the big one. Go ahead. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. From the fact that the Gemara is talking only about salted fish, mashma, that if it wasn't salted before the grilling, what would have been the status of the fish? Asur. Okay, go ahead. So, Tosfot says, don't take, when the Gemara says, dagim ktanim, don't take it just, you know, surface, face value, small fish. Because if it's really small fish, like sardines, they're not only al shulchan melachim. Rather, what kind of small fish are we talking about? We're talking about like... average, because they're not big. They're not huge. You ever caught a tuna?
They're big, small fish.
Huh?
Small fish in comparison to like huge fish.
Right. Tuna are like 300 pounds. They're, you see them kind of...
It's the same lashon as the previous one, as the dagim ktanim.
No, that's what he's saying. Now keep reading.
That one's different though.
I imagine a goldfish and some sort of...
Goldfish?
Yeah.
Goldfish or treif? Goldfish or treif?
Well,
they're not
scales?
They're not scales.
No, what?
Goldfish are not kosher.
Really?
Hello? Yeah.
No scales.
No fins and scales. It has fins, no scales.
Yeah, weiter.
How can we just change the context of the diet?
No, because Tosfot says you have to do that because otherwise you wouldn't be able to understand the Gemara. We just finished the previous thing, just got finished telling me. The previous Tosfot told me, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we go like both Lishonot Lehakel, that if it's either eaten raw or not, Olei al Shulchan Melachim, it's mutar. So if it's Dagim Ktanim Mamash, so what do I care that it's salted? Even if it's not salted, it's not Olei al Shulchan Melachim. Obviously, Tosfot says, you got to amend it a little bit. This happens all the time. What are you saying, Aaron? Well, cooking only comes later. We're saying the cooking is not so significant here because it's already salted. We're saying that the most significant method of preparation over here is the salting, in that that saves it from being bishul akum. Verstehst? Let's see what he says by Itan Taisus. Perush. Who said that? Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. That's the Tosfot says, I must be right, because otherwise the Gemara wouldn't have said meluchim. The Gemara could have just said dagim ketanim, even if a goy, which means that's halacha l'maaseh, by the way, according to the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to see later. Let's say a goy cooks sardines. Yeah. Is there a bishul akum on sardines? No. The halacha is that there's not, because sardines are not something that's olei al shulchan melachim. So obviously we got to be talking about something that's a little bit bigger than sardines and smaller than a tuna. The kids are, that's like a yodama, flounder. Yeah, what are you saying?
Maybe to answer Ryan's question about Rashi. Rashi's explaining the Kamash Malan, and the Kamash Malan at this point in the sugya is trying to prove that meaning, in the mouth of
Rashi wasn't going into the halachics.
Right, in the mouth of him, it was granted that it's not olei al shulchan melachim, dogim, are not eaten raw. So Kamash Malan, Kimcha is the Iker, and even though the same thing would be true, Kamash Malan, that it's also that these Kamach would not be
enough. Shemati, I'm with you. You hear what he's saying? Yeah. Okay. You're doing such a good job, I'm going to give you one more Tosfot. Yeah, Tira Maume. Okay, so these guys. Okay. Knishes. Okay, yeah. One. And then, oblias is what? That those of egg rolls. No, what is it? It's like little, not egg rolls, like Chinese food egg rolls, like egg challah rolls. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about rolls that had eggs in them. Now, what's the idea here?
Isn't that in their dough, or like,
there's eggs in the dough. Eggs in the dough. So says it, Rabbeinu Tam. Oh, so now you have eggs and dough. So what is it? Oh, bishul akum. Says Rabbeinu Tam. Nah. Based on this Gemara, why? Yeah, go ahead. You know, like Ashkenazi challah rolls, like those. No, bemet. The challah rolls that are good for Ashkenazim.
Yeah, we don't.
You enjoy
that one more than the
Pali Sela. You enjoy after the Sevuda. That's for dessert. You have to eat bread on Shabbat. Stick with the Sanyak. Anyway, Bekitsur, yeah.
Sanyak is pretty good.
That's
very
soft,
yeah.
It's a hard-boiled egg inside
a
bread.
No.
It's
egg challah. That's exactly what he's saying. Tenlo.
What is it
called? Tikra. Yafe, meaning tasbir. What's the problem? What do you?
If it's because of the egg, the blood in the egg, that's not so common. We don't have blood, right? If it's because of eggs of non-kosher hen or rooster or whatever, we don't have the common.
No, not meaning eggs from a non-kosher bird.
Right.
Goyim use today, eggs are chicken eggs, yeah, shalom, yeah. And what about bishul akum on the eggs? And just like over there, le'esor, we're going to go, based, says Tosfot, and this is going to be a big deal. We're going to go by the ikar, ben lehakel ben lachmir. In the Gemara, we went by the ikar for what? Lehakel u lachmir? Lachmir. Over here, says Tosfot, by the challah rolls, by the egg challah rolls that the Goyim made, for those who are not nisar, by Pat Akum, by the way, there are those who are nisar for Pat Israel, but for those who are not, it would be under the guise, we know, obviously the dinim of Pat Akum are different than Bishul Akum, much more lenient. So for those who are not makpid about Pat Akum, this would be fine and you don't have to be worried about the eggs getting cooked. Tov?
So flour that's fried or boiled, is it Pat Akum or is it Bishul Akum?
Bishul akuman. That's the Gemara. That's Kasad al Sana. Yeah. Now, hold on. Does the Tashbetz agree with that? The Bet Yosef? Okay, so now, be careful what you answer. Because usually I set you up such that whatever you answer, you're partially wrong. Right and partially wrong. Right. Anyway, Bikitsur, yeah, says the Ritva. Yeah, let's see what the Ritva says as follows. The Ritva kind of adds on to this Tosfos, and he says a very big Chiddush, yeah?
What was the Chiddush in the first Tosfos?
Well, he was just explaining the Gemara, and then he said the Chiddush at the end of the first Tosfos was that... that we have to say that the Dagim Ketanim were really Ktzat Gedolim because otherwise it wouldn't be Onel Shulchan Menachim and therefore the Sugiya wouldn't start.
Yes.
Okay, that's all he's saying. Yeah, Roy, see the Ritva. Tire Ma'omer.
Okay, another
thing I
asked Naikar.
Ritva, Mizen. Mizen Ritva.
Rabbeinu
Yom Tov
is
Sili. Rabbeinu Yom Tov bin Abraham and Sviliya. Who? Where was he from?
Spain.
Georgia.
Talmid Ab. Talmid of the Ra'a. And Talmid Talmido, the Ra'ah was a Talmid of Ramban, Femo, Viter, To, Zok the Ritva. Oh, because he says when you have a mixture, you don't go by the name. Over here, what's the name of the concoction in the Gemara? Kasa de Harsina. What? Fish brine. And yet, what does the Gemara say? You're not going by the fish. You're going by the kemach. So we don't care about the name, says the Ritva. What do we care about? The ikar. Now, okay. Me'ata. Boom! This is a big one. You just dropped a big bomb, which is really, this is the connector. This is the common denominator between Seif Bet and Seif Gimel. Seif Bet is what we saw from the Gemara. Seif Gimel in the Tur and Shulchan Aruch talks about the panadas. Now, anybody who knows anything about Sephardic cuisine,
mezeh,
bidyuk. So, if you grew up in Brooklyn or among Syrians or both, so you'll know that there are, you know, the common Shabbat food by Syrians, they have mezeh, which are like hors d'oeuvres, like finger foods. So you have kibbeh, lachmajin, right? You have cigars, and then you have empanadas. What are empanadas? It sounds like a Spanish word. You know why? Because it's a Spanish food. So, you might be scratching your head every time the Shulchan Aruch drops these words all over Shulchan Aruch. They're Spanish words. The whole Shulchan Aruch is littered with Spanish words. Why in the world is Maran using Spanish words?
Copying what the Mishnah wrote.
Or he's from Spain. He spoke Spanish. Anyway, Bikitsu.
Doesn't he just copy whatever?
Well, also, but he brings things for himself also. Why? Yeah, he ate these things or used these things. There's Spanish words all over the place. So, what happened is he was born in 1488 in Spain, and notably, what happened in 1492 was the Spanish Inquisition. So he had to run away at the age of 4 from Spain. He ran away to Portugal. And then a few years later, like 5 years after that, what happened in Portugal? There was the Portuguese Inquisition. So he was, you know, but he was very much Spanish. So anyway, these empanada things are pockets. It's, for lack of a better term, it's like a...
Meat
like a burekas, but like kind of like a calzone filled with meat, basically. Meat and tomato sauce and zaten. That's an empanada. So he says over there, even though it's called an empanada, and that's talking, the name is going on.
Mean?
Huh?
What does the word mean literally?
Filled pocket.
So it's about the bread.
It's about the bread. Nevertheless, says the Ritva, hey, guess what? The Ritva was also from Spain. And he also knew what empanadas were. He says, don't get fooled by the name. What's the cut over there?
Meat.
The filling. Ah. Now, based on this, I ask you, if the Ritva and seemingly Tosfot are saying to go, the Ritva is kind of just an extension of Tosfot, taking the Chiddush a little bit further. According to this, what would you say, how is it that you determine what's the Ikar? Go by the Ikar, not the name, but the Ikar. What does Ikar mean? What is the primary substance or the primary thing of the food? So comes the Mitzpeh Etan that we pointed out before, and this is a huge Zav, and it's now Schnitzelkan. So says the... Why is that? You see, my boys are laughing. Why is that? Because schnitzel is a very controversial word. It's like, you know, the only more controversial thing than saying that you don't like burnt rice is talking about schnitzel.
Yeah.
That's basically, so, yeah. No, because Ariel will tell you it's not burnt, it's fried. I said, no, it's not fried, because fried rice you only find by Chinese food.
Fried rice is fried rice by Chinese food. This is burnt. Tajik is burnt. Don't tell me sipurim. Anyway, בקיצור, אבל מכל מקום, מכל מקום. Why? באמת?
Sometimes you add the rest to it.
You put eggs in
the
potatoes. No, potatoes I saw. They have a whole system. I watched an older Persian lady in action when she did this. There's a whole science to it. You have to flip over the pot. You ever seen that? You have to flip over the pot and knock it. You have to knock it.
That's the name.
It's a whole.
World War III.
No, if you mess up, it's a git. Anyway, b'kitzur. So now,
b'kitzur.
So, huh? Not at all. Masechet Gittin da. Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. Tzadi Aleph. Anyway, b'kitzur. So it says like this. The Mitzpeh Etan, which is something that I found in the back in the Otzar Mefarshim of the. What's his name? Of the Eiz Bahadur. I'm sorry that not everybody has it. I couldn't find it online either. So you'll just bear with me for a second. They posted it also, right?
It
doesn't say. Rav Eitan something. I can look in the front over here. I don't know. But it says all the names over here in the beginning. Yalkut Mefarshim Achadash on Masechet Avodah Zarah. But it's only in the What's His Name edition. Yeah, it doesn't say who he is, Bidyuk, but one of it's an Acharon, but he says a beautiful pshat in the Gemara. Listen, I mean, it doesn't, obviously it matters who everybody is, but look at, you know, he said something that's Divrei Tam Gdolim. He says like this, Amar Rav Yosef Pshita, Ma'u D'Tema Har Sinai Kar, Kamash Maran Kimcha Ikar. So he says, Rav Yosef L'Shitato B'Brachot, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Bet, דכל שיש בו מחמשת המינים מברך בורא מן המזונות וכן התוספות לעל דף למד א' מדם ובשונה עובדי כוכבים לברכה לגבי שכר. Which means he says a huge thing. How in the world are you supposed to go by what's ikar, what's tafel? You want to decide when you have a mixture, you have to go by the ikar. Says the Mitzpeh Etan, it makes beautiful sense that Rav Yosef is the one saying the ma'amar over here, because Rav Yosef in Brachot דף למד ו' says there's a machloket, but Rav Yosef says that any time you have a mixture of the chameshet mine dagan, anytime you have one of the five grains, wheat, barley, spelt, oat, and rye, that are mixed into any other food and are meant to give flavor, not just for binding or texture, but are actually there for flavor, the halacha is, which bracha does it get? It will always get bure mine mizanot. It is a machloket. Nevertheless, this is the opinion of Rav Yosef over here. And guess what? Maran Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reshchet Sa'if Bet holds the same way. And for that reason, Rov Kichol Chachmei Sfarad, most of the poskim of our generation, Poskei Sfarad, this is one of the rare occurrences that Kim'at all Poskei Sfarad are on the same page. And they say, right, beginning from Maran Zichrono Livracha, and Chacham Ben Tzion, and the Birkat Hashem, the Menuchat Ava, Adon Rav Moshe Levi, and all the poskim, they all say pe'echad, that it really depends how you're making schnitzel. In the old times, I guess breadcrumbs weren't such a big thing. They put a little bit of breadcrumbs so it didn't stick. So just for non-sticking purposes, the schnitzel, the chicken would still be she'akol, because that's the ikar. But nowadays, right, schnitzel, nowadays is, you know, Yishtabach Shemo is right. Why? Because if you don't want the breadcrumbs, you have plenty of other options. You get grilled chicken, you can get, you know, there's many other things that you can do to a chicken besides for schnitzeling it. So if you schnitzel it with the breadcrumbs, obviously, and especially with all the different, you have the American and the Viennese and the Mexican and the Greek and all of the other, you know, all the other, you know, Shemot HaKodesh, so bevadai ubevadai, nowadays, especially when it's put in such volume, bevadai, according to Maran, would be mezonot. Says the Mitzpeh Etan, the halachot of brachot would shed light also on the halachot of bishul akum as well, and that's how you figure it out. Now, okay, what's the matter?
About like pancake
shakum. No, no doubt. Shakum.
So what about, according to the
Ritva,
what do you do with the
mezonot? Ephemeral. Now, what are you going to do with the empanada? Because over there, the empanada, what bracha does it get?
Shakur.
It depends how. No.
And Ritva just said,
he said the ikar is the meat.
He said the ikar is the meat, but what's the ikar of bracha on the empanada?
Well, he doesn't.
Is either hamotir or not, depending on how it's made. So how does that work? Does that mean that the Ritva doesn't hold of the mitzpeh etan? That's a great question. Does everybody understand? Elaborate on the question.
Most of the
Yes, that's Rabbi Yosef's own opinion. It's, right, for lack of a better term, in the colloquial Lishivish, this would be called a Lishitose. This is Rabbi Yosef Lishitose.
That's the word that's bad times.
I know, but... No, the Mitzvei Etan said Lishitate. I said Lishitose. Yeah. So anyway, Bekitzur... There's another Amora in, I don't remember who it was, in Brachot Aflamed Vav, who argues. But the question was just asked. Does the Ritva necessarily agree to the diuk of the Mitzvei Etan? That's a very good question. Why or why not? What's the question, Roy? The Mitzvei Etan says the way to always determine Ikar by Bishul Akum is Brachot. And he brings a Raya. I don't have too much time to see it, but I'll tell you. There's a Tosfot. He brings a Raya Meforeshet. Tosfot on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, a few dapim earlier. The Gemara over there talks about the din of drinking beer with goyim. And we spoke about this, we had a shir way back when about it, and we said they have to drink it. There's Machloket Amoraim, Rav Papa, Rav Acha. One says you have to take it out, one says you have to take it home, whatever. You can't drink with them because we don't want to get too chummy drinking alcohol with goyim, because that probably won't end well. The Chachamim understood that. Now, says Tosfot, hey, wait a second, what are you making new gzerot about alcohol, drinking with them, at home, whatever? Why don't you just tell me about beer being bishul akum? Beer is made out of cooked barley and hops. And what's that? So why is there no issue of bishul akum by the beer? It says Tosfot two answers. The second answer of which the Mitzvei Etan is referring to, the second answer of Tosfot is, hey, wait a second. You know why? Because when you drink beer, what bracha do you make on beer? Shakon or mizonot? Bevadai shakon. What does that tell you? That especially since the beer is filtered out. When was the last time barley. I'm saying that barley is filtered out of the beer. When was the last time you swallowed barley in your beer? Barley belongs in the chalmut, not in the beer. Anyway, Bikitzur, so if that's the case, so just like the bracha on beer shakol, which means that the barley is tafil to the mashke, so too with regards to bishul akum, says the Mitzvei Etan, that's the pshat of the year based on Tosfot. Now, with that information, what can you ask me on the Ritva?
What bracha do you make on
according to the Ritva, that the Ikar by empanadas is the Basar, and you don't go by the name, you go by the Basar. Hey, wait a second. According to the rule that the Mitzvei Etan is laying down here, which is actually based on the Tosfot, on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, since the Bracha, everybody agrees that the Bracha on empanadas is either Hamotzi or Mezonot, depending on how you fry it, but at the end of the day, then it should be considered a bread and not... Well, the bread should be the Ikar and not the meat. And if that's the case, then this whole idea falls off, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe there's a difference between a mixture like kasad de harsina, like that brine, fish brine concoction, and empanada. What is that difference? That answer lies in the Beit Yosef. Now, there's one other thing over here. Not everybody agrees. I'm going to tell it to you outside because we don't have a lot of time. But there is one thing that I want to tell you. Not everybody agrees with the Mitzvei Etan that Rabbi Yosef is going to Shitate, and it has to be, this Gemara is only applicable if you follow that Chamishat Mine Dagan always win in terms of Brachot. There's another opinion, and he says it could be going according to the other opinion as well, that Chamishat Mine Dagan don't necessarily win. You go by the Rov, whatever is the Rov of that Tavshil, which Maran doesn't hold like, but he says, okay, you know, I brought a Shulchan Aruch and a Shach over here. Bekitzur, I don't think we're going to have it. I'm going to tell it to you outside, but what they're saying is, according to the Shach and the Prim Gadim. The Shach and the Prim Gadim in Siman Kuf Yud Bet Sa'if Yudalet. So the Rama brings down over there something very interesting, that you're allowed to eat, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that you're allowed to eat Kutach. Kutach was a dairy dip, a.k.a. dew, right? That's the, as Josh calls it, sparkling yogurt. Anyway, Bekitzur, but... Anyway, you know what that is? You do it? Anyway, Bekitzur.
Corn in Iran.
Bemet?
Wow.
No, they told me that they do with the kebabs. They do, the goyim.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, Bekitzur, but Mikol Makom, this kutaf, one second, this kutaf is dairy, and sometimes the goyim would dip their stuff in, says the Shulchan Aruch, it's mutan. You don't have to worry about the sheriyot of pata akum, you don't have to worry about the remnants of the pata akum inside. Now, says the Rama, and even if it's in there, right, you don't have to worry, what did the Rama say, what was the words in the Rama? Yeah, it's batel beru, ben belach, ben biyavish. Comes the Shach, and the Prim Gadim explains that even though by other Isurei Rabbanan, Da'at Maran Shulchan Aruch, Maran holds that even by other Isurei Rabbanan, in order to nullify it, you need to nullify it by a ratio of echad b'shishin. So why over here is it different? Says the Prima Gadim, explaining the Shach, that both by pat akum and by bishul akum, since these are gzirot midrabanan that do not have any kar b'torah, the chachamim were mekel, and the only bitul that you need, you don't need bitul b'shishim, you need bitul b'ed rov. If that's the case, tzadi tret.
Yeah.
Tzadichet also, but there's the Bet Yosef and the Prima Gadim are in Tzadichet. No, it's in Tzadichet. No, over here. Dafka over here. In general, by Yisurei D'Rabbanan, you need Shishim. Over here, by Bishul Akum and Pat Akum, there's a special Kula Midrabbanan that it's Batel Beru. Hey, wait a second. The Prima Gadim, I'm telling to you outside, the Prima Gadim asks a question. He says, one second. Who's the Prima Gadim, by the way? Rabbi Yosef Tomi, very good. So, what's he famous for? Hakiris. Anyway, Bekitzur, so he says like this. The Prima Gadim asks, says, wait a second, I don't understand. If we're saying that you don't need Shishim, that means that what? That means that it's still Noten Tam. And if it's still Noten Tam, how can we say that you go by the other Inkar, didn't it get Tam? And then, here, look at the question of the Prima Gadim.
I thought if it's batel berov mikar din.
Ve'tzarich yun din ken panada shel goyim besiman chuf yud gimal amay asura mi she'ashuman ne'esar tefila mikol makom k'shenivla ba'isa li'batel berov. Why are we saying that the panada is the empanada is asur, which we're going to see soon in the Tunin Bet Yosef? Hare, isn't it batel berov by the time the fat becomes asur? Isn't it batel berov in the dough? And then he has a whole thing over there. So, I'm leading up, in order to understand this Prima Gadim well, we first have to see, we must see Bitur and Bet Yosef over here, because that is golden. When we get that, then we'll understand all these questions a little bit better. So, Roy's going to start us off with the Tur, and the first one is Bet, and the next one is Gimel, and then we're going to talk about the Bet Yosef and the Derkei Moshe. So, Roy, Tim. עובד גילולים.
וגילולים רואים אם העיקר מדברים שיש בהם משום משולי גילולים, אסור, ואם העיקר מדברים שאין בהם משום משולי גילולים, מותר. שהולכים אחר העיקר בין העקר בין האחר.
Which is something that we understood from Tosfot. Right? Tosfot made that observation that we go ben
ha'kedah.
Okay, that was the tour. Save the tour. Save him. Panada. Now you already see the tour is coming to answer the question that we had on the Ritva. I thought, whether you go with brachot, amanda amar with brachot or not, at the end of the day, isn't the ikar the bread? He's saying you're right. If it was a mixture, like Vakasa Dharsana, that already to begin with everything is mixed, then you go by the Ikar. But over here, by the empanada, when before it starts cooking, is it mixed? Everything stands alone. When you start cooking the meat, the oil still stands alone. The oil becomes asur, because that the meat is subject to Bishul Akum. And then what happens to the oil? It's nivla, it gets absorbed by the dough, at which point it becomes asur. Which means, to begin with, how are we differentiating empanada from the case of Kasa de Harsena? Kasa de Harsena is already a mixture even before it starts being cooked. So over there we have nothing to default back to besides for the ikar. As opposed to by the empanada,
cook the meat separately and put it on the ready baked bread?
No.
Okay.
No. You put raw meat inside the dough and you put it in the oven or in the fryer. Which means that what?
What about the Harsena? You don't do that with Harsena?
When you put it into the harsena already, over there, the flour is the isur vegetated by the kasad harsena. Remember, the fish are edible raw. By the kasad harsena, the issue is with the dough, the flour. And the flour is already mixed in. So that is the ikar. But comes the tur, which is going to be explained further in the Bet Yosef, by the empanada, you cannot call it a mixture yet, because at the beginning of the baking process, before the dough even gets baked, the meat gets cooked, the fat or the oils heat up, it becomes asur mishum bishule akum, and that gets absorbed by the dough, in which case, that's going to be a problem of bliot, of bishul akum. Yes?
So maybe the Ritva wouldn't necessarily disregard the Mitzpeh Etan's thing. He says, maybe the Ritva would say, listen, Mitzpeh Etan, I agree with you by things that are mixtures to begin with, and that then we go by brachot. But with regards to empanadas, yes, with brachot, it will be hamotzir mezonot, but at the end of the day, even before it gets mixed, the standalone fat gets assumed, and then is nivnah in the dough, so that's a totally different entity. That's why do you think the tour had to make a totally different saif about empanadas? Wouldn't empanadas be part of saif bet when we're talking about mixtures, ikar betafel, and amai, from the fact that the tour and the Bet Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch and everybody had to speak separately about empanadas? What does that tell you? That there's a chidush here that didn't apply to the previous halakha. Understand what I'm saying? Why did he have to even... So why talk about it? You didn't have to mention it at all. Yeah. Right. You already said the rule. The rule is, Ikar betafel, you go by the Ikar shalom zel. What's with the empanada? The empanada is the chidush. And then what? Go ahead. Bechem. Yerakot. Same idea. The Tur says, let's say you have a beef or chicken with broccoli, right? And the goy makes it for you from start to finish. Even though the broccoli in and of itself, well, let's say, I mean, you know, greenhouse grown broccoli that doesn't have bugs galore. But let's say the broccoli itself is ne'echal kmo chuchai, right? Either if it's greenhouse grown, it's ne'echal kmo chuchai, and if it's not greenhouse grown, it's ne'echal kmo chuchu gan chayot, right? Not, anyway, bekitzur, because inside, you know, gan chayot?
Zoo.
There's a zoo inside. Anyway, bekitzur, listen to this. So even though the broccoli is eaten high, but since the fat from the meat becomes asur and then becomes nivla into the vegetable, it's asur also. Now, I want to finish up because we don't have too much time. I want to see at least the first bit. You know what? Let's go through the Bet Yosef and the Derkei Moshe. That's going to shed a lot of light here. Yeah, let's see what he says. Says the Bet Yosef. Go for it. He did.
כל זה דברי הרשב"א. ולמד כן מדין הר סיני
So everything is from Kasad Arsana, the sugya that we just saw. Okay. Now comes Ditash Betz and drops a bomb.
Yep.
Which means they make some sort of dessert from flour and honey. Is that Bishun Akum or not? They fry flour and honey, which is kind of like what we spoke about yesterday, Zalbiya. That's basically what it is.
So, all these things are allowed to run out.
Let's say, yeah. But we see something else. We see a side point from the Tashbetz that he seems to not be holding like the Prichadashim yesterday, because the whole discussion, he has a whole discussion here on whether there's Bishul Akum over here, because is the Solet Eikar, is the Dvash Eikar, but he doesn't talk about dessert things. So obviously, what does the Tashbetz himself hold about dessert items? It is Bishul Akum. So another reason we see Rishonim for Rashim that seem to be on the side of the Tun and Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, forbid. But anyway, that's not the discussion. The question here is, people do it. Is it Mutar Asur? And it will depend on what? Whether the Kemach is Ikar or the Dvash is Ikar. If the Dvash is Ikar, so what? Then it's okay, because Kenechal Kmot Shulchai. But if the Kemach is Ikar, then you have a problem. It says the Tashbetz Svaita, yeah.
Okay, the Asur
Mishun,
the Kinsa Ikar.
He says, but probably the main part of that dessert is the honey, and the flour over there is just for what? Just for binding purposes. And therefore he says, okay, I'm okay with this minhag. After finding ground for the minhag, what does he say afterwards? V'katav she'im kol zot. The Gemara says that water that was warmed by a goy, Tanit Chacham should stay away from. Yeah. You skipped a line. Adam chashuv shani. The Tashbet says, I still wouldn't eat it, And Talmidei Chachamim shouldn't eat it. You could be mekel for other people, but be machmir for yourself. We're going to see Bezat Hashem tomorrow that Derkei Moshe takes issue with this. He brings other tshuvot from other Rishonim that disagree with the Tashbetz and say that it's completely mutar. And then we'll get to the Bet Yosef of Panada. There's a few more Rishonim and Bet Yosefs that we have to do. And then Bezat Hashem, we'll finish up the Shulchan Aruch on Bet and Imam tomorrow. And we'll see you then, Bezat Hashem. Kol tov. Eshkol. Yeah.
You dialed, yeah. I'm sorry. Here was a haragom me'achorav. That's well, no?